Morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For it is the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? But as it is, if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. This is the word of the Lord.
Following Pastor Caroline's tradition of really long scripture readings there. Thanks, Irene. Our second reading is kind of a follow-on to the Pentecost scripture. We're going to continue on in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods, distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. One of the best church conferences that I ever went to was held at Walt Disney World in Orlando. Not just because we got to go to the parks, which we did, but really because it was sponsored by something called the Disney Institute, along with a very contemporary Lutheran church called the Community Church of Joy in Arizona. It was called the Imaginative Church Conference. So at the beginning of the conference, we heard two stories that really stuck with me. First, a consultant with Disney Institute told a story about a family who came to Disney World to celebrate their daughter's birthday. They were at one of those very expensive hotels on site. And on the day of her birthday, they were heading out to the parks, and the mother made an excuse that she forgot something to run back to the room, and she snuck back in, and she left a note for the housekeeper. And the note just asked, "Could you find a birthday card for my daughter? You know, and leave it in the room for when we return." Well, the family spent the day at the park, and when they returned, not only was there a card signed by Mickey, of course, but the room was covered in streamers and balloons, stuffed animals on the bed, and a giant sign that said, "Happy birthday." That hotel staff had gone out of their way to make a memorable moment for that family. So the Disney Institute uses this apocryphal story to illustrate that in doing so, they likely gained a lifelong devoted follower, a family who, I'm guessing, will gladly pay the exorbitant prices that Disney charges for their hotels, their parks, and their food. That was one story. The second story was told by the pastor of the church organizing the conference. It's about a woman named Barb. A woman named Barb came to church one Sunday. She was never an active churchgoer, but she had a baby and wanted that baby to be baptized. But she also had some health issues. She wasn't sure if it was an eating disorder or what was going on. And she feared going to any church because she would be shamed and called a failure in life. But instead, she heard messages of God's love and God's care. She was invited to participate in the activities and the ministries of the church. Her child was baptized. Her heart was captured. She decided to be baptized herself. She was not judged. She began to get her life in order and believe it was the inviting, inclusive message that helped her be a part of that community. So the one thing that both of those stories have in common is the word hospitality. Think about that word hospitality for a moment. It's same roots as the word host or hospice or hotel. The word means to most of us to have an environment where someone feels like a valued guest. Someone feels included and welcomed, whether it's a home or a community or wherever. If you've experienced hospitality, you don't soon forget it. Maybe some of us have had a similar experience to this. I had four older brothers and sisters, and they all had children and, you know, at this point now grandchildren. When my mother was still living, at her house would be the big summer gathering. And I remember her in the kitchen trying to figure out how many people were going to show up for dinner. Would the other ones be back from the park in time or the pool, or would somebody bring their girlfriend or their friends? Or my mother would plan for about 24 people. And then she said what she always said, you know, there's always room for one more. Do we create an environment of hospitality in our lives or in our church of being in community, ready to welcome one more? Remember that family that had the experience of hospitality at Disney World. Do you think they would return? We learned from the Disney Institute at that conference, 75% of their business are repeat customers. Without outstanding hospitality, they'd be out of business in a short time. That idea of radical hospitality, if you will, radical really means deeply rooted and authentic. That way the family felt with their room so decorated, or the way there was always room for one more. That is the way of God, I believe. So how does that relate to us here at UPB? Well, one way is in this age of rapidly increasing artificial intelligence, I believe people will more and more want to turn to authentic experiences and relationships. I was joking with a few members, church members, a while back that soon we would have not only AI doctors and AI accountants, but we would have AI pastors too. I mean, think of it. Just plug in a scripture into the machine, out pops a message, maybe a robotic face to deliver it. Maybe it's already happening. I don't know. I'm retiring just in time. But community, hospitality, real relationships are what people will want more and more. The more we deal with robotic things answering the phone, we will want real relationships, community, and hospitality. And the good news is that is our core value here in the church, and especially at UPB. No matter what your background, you'll be welcome. That the inclusive love of Jesus Christ will be evident inside our community of faith, no matter what age you are or what economic ability you have. And where does that core value come from? It comes from our understanding of the inclusive ministry of Jesus himself. It's important to take a step back and take note of that. How does Jesus' ministry reflect that? Well, one aspect is he came out of an ancient culture in which only men were allowed to access seats of power. Well, granted, the 12 were also men. However, it's shown in the Gospels that he took time to include women in his ministry. Women were first at the tomb to see the resurrected Jesus and believe. He also welcomed outcasts in society, tax collectors, sinners. He even shocked authorities by touching lepers and speaking with them as if they were real people of value. In his time, children were to keep quiet. But he said, "Let the children come to me." Outside groups were included. Story of the Samaritan woman at the well and that Good Samaritan parable all include an outreach beyond the narrow cultural group that he was brought up in. So Acts chapter 2 sums it up well. All who believed were together, were united. So no doubt we get our inspiration for outreach from Jesus himself, from the disciples' accounts of what he values. Sometimes I wonder what gospel those who reject inclusion and diversity are actually reading. And not only is Jesus our model for this, but we go back to Paul's writing in Corinthians, who says there is wisdom and strength in welcoming all kinds of people. And he uses that wonderful image that Irene read for us, that image of the human body. And we still talk about that. They think of the body of Christ here in the church. In our physical body, there's lots of moving parts. But they need to work together in unison to allow us to function. The eyes, not the hand, but to hit a baseball, you need them to work closely together. So what if Paul meant this as more than just a clever literary image? What if Paul meant the body of Christ must have inclusive love if it is to thrive and be a force for good in the world? But in our culture, our society seems to have uncertainty about this truth. It's been building for some time now, particularly in the past few years. People have been divided. Divided by race or by gender or by economic class or political party. It's rich versus poor and men versus women, conservative versus liberal, and so on. And our leaders today seem to want to exacerbate this. Divide us into our tribal groups, whether it's young versus old or conservative and liberal, north and south, educated versus not, old versus young, Christians versus Muslims. So many other ways we can be set against each other. This is not the way of Jesus Christ. And I've thought about this in many different church settings as well. Not just a question of welcoming people across cultural divides, it's also welcoming people who may have a difficult past, people who have less than perfect lives, like the young woman Barb in our story. And it's true, one of the reasons I love the PCUSA, and the same goes for UCC, is that I've had people in my ministry come up and ask me, "Pastor, I've been divorced. Am I still welcome in the PCUSA?" Or I've heard, "My friend is thinking about coming to church, but her English is not very good. Will she still be welcome in the PCUSA?" It makes all the difference in the world to me to be able, without hesitation, to say a resounding yes to these questions. So in Acts, Luke, who we believe is the author of Acts, writes about this remarkable day. Languages were being understood by diverse groups. All who believed were together, regardless of race or ethnicity. They broke bread together. They're praising God. And every day, God added to their number. And their lesson to us is that even though they were all in some ways different from each other, they were truly one in Christ Jesus. And this would be my prayer for our congregation during this transitional time and as we go forth into an exciting future, that we would continue that hospitality, continue to make people feel welcome here, that we would value community, that people would experience that hospitality, that we would not only experience it here, that we would model that hospitality to the divided world. Remember Barb from the Church of Joy? She experienced that love and acceptance, and now she goes out with love for others. That is the gospel of Christ. That is what we call a radical hospitality. The idea that there's room for one more. So the good news is the reality that in the kingdom of God, there is always room for one more. May it be so for each of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.